Well, my Antioch family, it is a wonderful opportunity to be back with you. I have a testimony as well. It wasn't the vid, but it was something. And so since Tuesday all the way up to Thursday, Friday, I had also been home, laid up. I didn't watch Band of Brothers. I barely could watch anything. I watched my eyelids, though. And so that was a good thing. Was able to get rested up. And so I'm honored to be with you today. To serve you. Let's go to John chapter number 14, beginning at verse 1. I was wrestling with what the Lord wanted to share, and there's this one thing, this one thematic thing that the Lord kept pressing upon my heart for you. And so my prayer is that you would receive it in the name of the Lord. We're going to be reading from the New Living Translation. We're going to John chapter number 14, verse number 1. I'm going to warn you, we're going to read a lot of Bible today, but because we're in a word church, I think we're going to be all right. John chapter number 14, beginning at verse 1, says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." I'm just going to let that sink in. It's not in Psalms, so there's not a Selah, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it again. Just for our hearing, just for our meditation, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. It's in red if it's in the KJV. If you have a KJV, it's in red. So Jesus is talking. So he says to his disciples, and I believe he is saying to us who are his disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There's more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, I would have told you, and I am going to prepare a place for you. What I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. When everything is ready, I will come and get you so that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. I'm so grateful that we have actual human beings as disciples. Thomas said, now Jesus, I'm going to go in the NLT and the Jamal version. I'm just giving you a little commentary. Thomas says, Jesus, I have a hand raised. We don't have no idea where you're going. How can we go to some place we don't know where it is? Jesus said, I am where you're going. Jesus says, I am the way. He says, I am the truth. Truth is not an idea. It is a person. Jesus is the truth. And he said, life is not just something you have. Life is something I am. He said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the source and sustainer of everything that exists. He said, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you had really, really known me, this is not known in the sense of intellectual pursuits. This is not brain knowledge. This is heart knowledge. This is what we call intimacy. This is this closeness, this relationship that transcends just what we think or what we feel, but moves into who we are. He says, if you had really known me, you would know who my Father is, because I come from my Father. From now on, you do know him, and you've seen him. Why? Because you've seen me. Jesus is putting to rest an unease that the disciples have not even entered into yet. I want to go a little further. Let's go down to verse number 18 of that same chapter of John 14. So if you would just scroll down in your devices or flip a page in your paper Bible, verse number 18 of John 14 says, "No, I will not abandon you as orphans." You don't have to worry about whatever and whoever in your life has dropped you. You are not illegitimate. You are not left alone. You are not illegal. You are not cast aside, cast away, and done away with. No, I'm not going to abandon you as others have abandoned you. I'm not going to be like others have been in your life. And oftentimes, the mistake, the carnal mistake that we make in our lives is we treat God as human and not as holy. We often treat God as if he is like us when there is no one like him. And so Jesus assures his disciples even before they need assurance, because he's with them. He's walking with them. He's talking with them. He's making happy meals for them, you know, feeding 5,000. He's raising the dead. He's doing amazing miracles. But he's like, there's a day coming that I need you to have an assurance of me when you can't see me. He said, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me. Because a lot of people only see Jesus in the flesh. That soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father and you are in me and I in you. It says, those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them and I will love them and I will continually show them my heart. I'll reveal myself to them. Beloved, we must be a people who do not have Jesus as a religion, but have Jesus as our Lord. A people who have relationship with the Father through the Son by the Spirit. A people who don't just have an observance of Jesus and we try our best to not do the nots and to do the do's, but we do it from a place of love. That our surrender is not out of obligation, but our obedience is out of the love that he has shown for us, that he loved us first, and because of his great love towards us, we have great love towards him. So there's no greater love can any man have except that he would give his life for his friends. Jesus says, I want you to know that I don't just want you as servants. I don't want you just as subjects, even though he is a king. He said, I want you as friends. I want relationship with you above and beyond what you can do for me. He shows us where real love is, because love is not a transaction. It is an attribute of who God is. So he says, for God so loved the world, he gave. No condition, no obligation. He just gives. And then whether or not we respond is our choice. And he loves us enough to give us that choice. Judas, not Judas Iscariot, but the other disciple with that name said to Jesus, Lord, why are you going to reveal yourself only to us and not to the world at large? Jesus replies, all who love me will do what I say. I can't say I love Jesus and live like I want. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. And remember, my words are not my own. What I'm telling you is from the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate, as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I have told you. I am leaving you with a gift. Peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, but that you will not be troubled or afraid. Beloved, I have come to talk to a people who are in a hard place. I want to talk to you who may look really good and you look amazing, but you're walking through a valley. I want to speak to a people who, even in a crowd, feel all alone. people who are swept up in the currents and cares of this life, and it feels as if everything is shaking that can be shaken, and it seems that there is no relief. The one word I heard from the Father for you today is the subject of our message, and that word is peace. Lord shared with me that word yesterday as I was praying for you, as I was seeking a word for you, as I was going through what we as preachers do, hearing from the Father on your behalf. And he said, tell my people peace. Whatever chaotic situations, whatever conflicts, whatever things that are catching you by surprise, whatever is causing you discomfort and feelings of defeat, he is the one qualified to speak to our storm and say, peace. Now, I want you to understand that peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God in the midst of your situation. Peace is not this feeling that everything is all right now, or even our circumstances immediately changing, but it is a perspective that the God who created all things is the same God who is with me in anything. That he who is my peace is my anchor, even in the winds and the waves of life. That Jesus says here in John 14, and I believe he is speaking to our very hearts, especially in these times that are vying for our attention, vying for our affection, vying for the things that will cause us to lose heart. He is speaking to our hearts today to reset our hearts upon the truth of his peace. That Jesus made peace so that we would have peace. That he died, was buried, and rose so that we would be people of peace. That he would mend the rifts between us and God because of our rebellion and cause us to have room made for us as sons and daughters. Beloved, Jesus isn't just giving us a suggestion in John 14:1. He's telling us, don't let your heart be troubled. He's not asking if you would, if you get some time between your worry and your anxiety, if you get some time in your day, don't worry. No, he's like, no, I need you to understand that I've got this. And yes, it's hard. And yes, it's challenging. And yes, you don't understand it all. And yes, you may even be upset at him at times. But he's like, I need you to trust me beyond where you have seen me. I need you to believe me beyond where you have known me in times past, that this year seems like a whole big trust exercise. It seems like a trust fall where everything else that we have held on to has been let go of. And the Lord is like, can you hear me now? Because he wasn't when he dealt with Elijah. He wasn't in the whirlwind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. But there was a still, small voice that spoke to Elijah when he was depressed and down and felt like everything was against him. And I believe the Lord speaks to us even in this moment. Whether you have fears or doubts, anger or disillusionment, he speaks to us and he says, peace. Peace to those who are far and peace to those who are near. He offers us in divine exchange. He gives us beauty for ashes. He gives us joy for mourning. He gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. He wants us to exchange our weeping for dancing. Not because of us, not because our circumstance looks better, but because our perspective has changed from where we are to where he is. that he is the eternal, everlasting, all-present God, and that even in the midst of our moment, even in the midst of the things that we are facing at this time, God does not waver or end because of what we may be facing in this moment. Beloved, I need you to know, not just in your mind, but I need you to know in your heart that the Lord sees and knows and has this one command for us: cast your cares upon him. For he cares for you. And so, beloved, the way that we live in peace, the way that we find ourselves in peace, because there's a lot of peace thieves around. There's so many things vying for our attention, vying for our affection, vying for our allegiance. There's so many things that would cause us to drift away from the one who is our peace. Beloved, we must cling steadfastly to the one who is our peace, the one who is our guide, the one who not only rescued us from sin, but calls us to live on purpose, who calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light, and who died for our sin and rose for our relationship with him. I believe there are three things I want to share with you as practical moments and practical guardrails as we guard our peace with all diligence. I believe we find them in Colossians chapter 3, and I'll go through them very briefly, but I want you to know that the Lord is calling us not to a place of hostility, not to a place of unease. Even when you feel like you're between a rock and a hard place, lean on the rock. The rock who is Christ Jesus. Colossians 3 chapter 1 says it like this. It says, since you have been raised to new life in Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven. We often find ourselves focused in on the things that we can see, but the things we can see are temporary. The things we can't see are eternal. Set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think on eternal things, not on temporary earthly things, for you died to this life. And your true life, your real life, your authentic life in Christ is hidden with Christ in God. And that when Christ, who is our life, is revealed to the whole world, you'll share in his glory. That in the chaos of this world, we must realize that we don't live for ourselves. We don't live by our own strength, by our own ingenuity, by our own know-how. When we don't have the words, he is the word. He is the word made flesh that dwelt among us and desires to dwell within us by his spirit. That in the chaos of our world, we have something to cling a hold to, and that is Jesus. The one who is our peace, the one who is our safety, the one who is our security, the one who doesn't fail, the one who doesn't lie, the one who doesn't cheat, the one who doesn't do wrong, the one who is eternally trustworthy, the one who is the author of our faith, the one who is the finisher of our faith, the one who is the source and sustainer of our life, the one who is love, the one who is good, the one who is wonderful, the one who is mighty, the one who is holy, the one who is righteous. That when we set our eyes on things of heaven, we set our eyes above the winds and the waves. That's why worship is vital to our existence. That's why praise takes us outside of where we are, and it changes our perspective from ones of the temporal things to something that is more eternal, that is everlasting in the heavens. We find praise to be a weapon because it moves out the fog and it brings a focus on glory. A focus on the one who is beyond it all and above it all and better than it all. The one who is holy and righteous and just and good. And we find faith to believe again. Because we see that the God who doesn't change is still God. He is still constant. When everything else is shifting, he is still solid. He is our solid rock. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust in anything else but wholly lean on him. That when my heart is overwhelmed, I love that psalm. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I love this, and this has been my meditation for these last couple of months. Lord, you're God Most High. That when everything else is lifting up itself as something that's high, that's something that's important, that's something that's lasting, God, you are Most High. There's nobody on your level. There's nobody that can come close to you. There's nobody that can supersede you. You are God. And because you are God, I can have a peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. So I have to put off my old nature. I have to say no to the things of this world. I have to say no to the things of the flesh. If we continue in Colossians 3 and verse 5 says, so put to death the sinful and earthly things. He said, put to death all of these things that are pleasurable in the moment, but lead us to prisons that we cannot escape from. He said, I have freed you from all of these things, from impurities and lust and evil desires, from greed and idolatry, from worshiping things that are not God. I have freed you from these things. I freed you from the wrath of God that comes because of these things, these injustices that keep coming. I freed you from living a life separated from me. And I've caused you to put off these things. I've given you the power by the grace of God and the power of his spirit to put off these things. Keep. I love what the scripture says. Keep putting these things off. It's not a one-time momentary thing. Because one of the greatest adversaries to your peace is your flesh. Because we are selfish people by our sinful nature. But when we come into Christ, we become selfless. We die to our sin, and we are raised to new life in Christ Jesus. So how do we live in peace? We continually put off the things of this world that would fight against the peace that God has had for us. We won't be disturbed or dismayed by what we see, but we will trust in the God who created us. We will lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily ensnares us, and we'll look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then after we put off our sin, we put on his nature. We put on his character. We put on the things that are of him. Verse 10 says, but you put on your new nature and you're renewed as you learn to be like Jesus. As we learn to be like God, we realize that the things that separated us no longer separate us. It says, this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters. And he lives in all of us. So since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, with kindness, with humility, with gentleness, with patience, not anger and arrogance, division and strife. No, we clothe ourselves with mercy and kindness, humility and gentleness and patience. We don't allow the things around us to be the barometer for our truth meter. We allow the truth to be what we live in and live by. He says, make allowances for each other, that y'all know each other. Forgive anyone who offends you. Whew. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must, not can if you want to. He said, no, you must forgive others. And he says, above all, clothe yourselves with love. Let love be the principal thing. Let love be your motivation for why you do what you do, because it binds us all together in perfect harmony, that we live in love. We cast off the things that would disturb our peace, that would disturb our relationship with our Father, that would disturb our relationship with each other, and we live in love. And lastly, we press into this peace by pressing into the very presence of our God. He says in verse 15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. I said everything I said just to get to that verse, that we must allow the peace that comes from Jesus to rule in our hearts. In uncertain days and moments and times that we live in, beloved, the Lord speaks to us his peace. He says, don't let your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, if you trusted in the one who you have not seen, trust in the one in whom he has sent. He said, let this peace be yours. For every member is one another and one body, and you're called to live in peace. So always be thankful. Let the message of Christ in all of its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with the wisdom that he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thanksgiving. Let us keep reminding each other of the God in whom we serve, the love that he has given us. This is why community is so important, because we get to remind each other of the goodness of God. So that when we may have a bad day or a weak moment, we get to gird each other up in the goodness of God, so that we may live in the peace of God, that we may live in the grace of God, we may live in the love of God. And he says here, lastly, whatever you do or whatever you say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Beloved, I want you to know that he speaks peace to us today. His peace that he gives us is not like the peace of the world. It's not only just this inner calm. It's an assurance that the Lord, who is God, has me. And no matter what I face, no matter what I go through, I will stay grounded in the Word, who is my safety and my security. I will remind my neighbor, I will remind my brother, I will remind my sister that the Lord is good, and his mercy endure forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endure forever. The Lord is enthroned upon his temple. The Lord is God. We live in him, by him, and through him. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that we would press in to your peace. I pray that we would push past what we feel, what we have seen, what we expect. I pray that we would allow you to reset our hearts again. I pray that you would reset our affections, that we would set our affections on things that are above, that we would set our affections, that we would set our eyes again upon you, O God. I pray for the disheartened. I pray for those who would have fainted unless they believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I pray for those that are still waiting on their breakthrough, that are still waiting on something from the Lord, that you have promised, and you are not a man that you should lie, or the son of man that you have to repent. What you say, you are already doing. And my prayer is that we would rest in your peace. That doesn't mean we become complacent. That means we become assured that you are God, and you are our peace, that we would set our eyes upon you again, that we would seek peace and pursue it, meaning we would seek you first, that we would freely surrender, that we would lay down all of the burdens and all of the baggage and all of the assumptions and all of the anger and all of the fear and all of the doubt and all of the dread. Father, I pray that we would find your peace today, because we would surrender our hearts to you. That we don't have to strive for peace, but we do have to surrender for peace. And so, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that the peace that surpasses all understanding would guard our hearts and minds in Christ. Let it be so. Let it be so. In Jesus' name.